ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो 89 चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 6 एंड 7। सो वील रीड टेक्स्ट 6 विच इज ऑन द बोर्ड। नैचत्वम् असि उत्पतगा इति देवाच्युकोपः शूलमुद्दम्य तं हन्तुम् आरेभेतिं न लोचनः। नैचत्वम् असि उत्पतगा इति देवाच्युकोपः शूलम् उद्यम्य तं हन्तुम् आरेभेति ग्मलोचनः। नैचत्वम् असि उत्पतग इति देवाच्युकोपः शूलम् उद्यम्य तं हन्तुम् आरेभेति ग्मलोचनः। नैचत्वम् अति उत्पतग इति देवाचुकोपः शूलमुद्यम्य तं हन्तुम् हरेते कुतगोचनः। नैचत्वम् उत्पतग इति देवाचुकोपः शूलम् उद्यम्य तं हन्तुम् आरेभेति ग्मलोचनः। इति देवेश्चति कोपः शूलमुद्यम्य तं हन्तुम् आरेभेति ग्मलोचनः।
माताजी
नैचत्वम् असि उत्पत्क इति देवाचुकोपः शूलमुद्यम्य तं हन्तुम् आरेभेति ग्मलोचनः। नैषत्वम् उत्पतग उद्यम्य तं हन्तुम् रेभेति ग्मलोचनः।
टेक् द रीड द नेक्स्ट वर्स ऑल्सो बिकॉज फर्स्ट वर्स हेज नो पर्पज।
पतित्वा पादयो देवी सान्त्वयामास तं गिरा अथो जगाम वैकुण्ठम् यत्र देवो जनार्दनः।
We'll read word by word meaning. We'll read the words first.
Na aichat. He did not desire this embrace. Tvam. You. Asi. Are. Utpatagaha. A transgressor of the path of religion. Iti. So saying. Devaha. The Lord Shiva. Chukopaha became angry. Shulam, his trident. Udyamya, raising. Tam, him, Bhrugu. Hantum, to kill. Arebhe, was about. Tigma, fears. Lochanaha, whose eyes. Patitva, falling. Padayoho, at Lord Shiva's feet. Devi, Goddess Devi.
Santvaya Masa, pacified Tam, him, Gira, with words, Atha, you, then, Jagama, Bhrigu, went, Vaikuntham, to the spiritual planet of Vaikuntha, Yatra, where, Devaha, Janardhanaha, Lord Janardhana, Vishnu. Read the translation in purport. But Bhrigu refused his embrace, telling him, "You are a deviant heretic." At this, Lord Shiva became angry and his eyes burned ferociously. He raised his trident and was about to kill Bhrigu when Goddess Devi fell at his feet and spoke some words to pacify him. Bhrigu then left that place and went to Vaikuntha, where Lord Janardhana resides. Purport. In Krishna, Srila Prabhupada writes, it is said that an offense can be committed either with the body, with the mind, or by speech. Bhrigu Muni's first offense committed toward Lord Brahma was an offense with the mind. His second offense committed toward Lord Shiva by insulting him, criticizing him for unclean habits, was an offense by speech. Because the quality of ignorance is prominent in Lord Shiva, when he heard Bhrigu's insult, his eyes immediately became red with anger. With uncontrollable rage, he took up his trident and prepared to kill Bhrigu Muni. At that time, Lord Shiva's wife Parvati was present. Her personality is a mixture of the three qualities, and therefore she is called Trigunamayi. In this case, she saved the situation by evoking Lord Shiva's quality of goodness. So Srila Jiva Goswami remarks that the Vaikuntha planet referred to here is Shvetadipa.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Sadatma Kadatitam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyacha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
But Bhrigu refused his embrace, telling him, "You are a deviant heretic." At this, Lord Shiva became angry and his eyes burned ferociously. He raised his trident and was almost to kill Bhrigu when Goddess Devi fell at his feet and spoke some words to pacify him. Bhrigu then left that place and went to Vaikuntha, where Lord Janardana resides.
So Hare Krishna, at the very outset, I would like to offer my humble obeisance to His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj and Chandramouli Maharaj, both of whom were there just some time ago. So they may be somewhere in the temple. So I offer my obeisances. And all of you Vaishnavas, I pray that you empower me to speak some words on this very esoteric topic. Whenever I read Srimad Bhagavatam, I find it amazing. Amazing that how things that are going on in the present day world are but perverted reflections of what took place thousands of years ago. Now, presently we are reading a verse wherein the sages, are performing a sacrifice, and that sacrifice, and during the sacrifice, there is some discussion also followed by, sacrifice is followed by discussion, and in the discussion, there is a controversy among the sages. And what is the controversy? Trishu adisheshu kah mahan. Among the three deities, worshipable deities, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, who is mahan? Who is great? This discussion takes place. This sort of controversial discussion takes place. And we can contrast this, if this is the nature of discussion that took place thousands of years ago when all the devotees were in the right consciousness. Now look at the contrast that is presented in today's world. You go through any newspapers, you go through any magazine, and you find that the discussions that are there is that who is the most handsome man in the world, or who is the most beautiful person in this world, or which actor, gets maximum, money on the first opening day of his cinema. Don't you think that these are all idiotic and trivial discussions compared to what took place thousands of years ago, where the people were concerned about the well-being of the human society, not so much with getting money. Now, today's world, we find there are glossy magazines and there are writers who make money simply giving articles on these mundane subjects, and they make their living on this. Not just one, thousands and thousands of writers and journalists make money, just they live on this kind of writing literature. Whereas, and what is the purpose of such literature? It is simply to titillate the senses, simply to put people in the mode of passion and just make money. That is the prime move. Whereas we find that in this particular verses that we have read, in the previous verses also, that the sages on the bank of river Saraswati, they are performing a sacrifice for the benefit of humanity. Now imagine, they are not doing it for themselves, they are doing it for the benefit of humanity. And the discussion is for the good of common people. So what do they want to establish? They want to establish that among the three deities, worshipable deities, who is supremely worshipable? Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they are also worshipable deities. But who is supremely worshipable? Who is the greatest? That is the discussion that is taking place. So, we find that we read, thanks to Srila Prabhupada, thanks to ISKCON, we have a fund of information on all these subject matters. We never have to starve about knowledge. Knowledge comes through the Srimad Bhagavatam, comes through Bhagavad Gita and so many wonderful books which have been written by Srila Prabhupada. So, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, they are, Srila Prabhupada writes in a purport, that they are all gunavataras, masters of Rajo, Tamo and Sattoguna respectively. Now, why are they discussing this subject matter? One may wonder, why are they not keeping to themselves? The intention here is not to belittle
any particular deity. That is not the intention at all, but simply to glorify the greatest one. So if such exalted sages were not to tell us as to who is the most worshipable among the Trinity, we would perhaps waste our entire life doing on the wrong track, so to say. Not that it is wrong to worship Lord Shiva, not that it is wrong to worship Lord Brahma, but we would be losing the precious moments of our life on a wrong track. Now this is also the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He told us precisely what we have to do to progress in spiritual life. Very precise instructions. So because he gave such instructions, we are today in Krishna consciousness. Speaking for myself, at least I am in Krishna consciousness. So because of the mercy of the spiritual master and because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are in Krishna consciousness. So this is something which needs to be remembered at all times. So briefly, like to glorify who is Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma is the longest lived living entity. He is a living entity, lives for 311,040,000,000,000 earth years. Now, why is he worshipable? Due to his service to Krishna, he is very, very powerful. Very powerful. He is a primal living being. He is the one who received the Vedic knowledge he received directly from Krishna. That's what you find in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he is the master of mode of passion. We know from reading the Srimad Bhagavatam that he is directly empowered by Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu to create, 84 lakh species of living entities. This is something extraordinary. He creates 84 lakh entities. And about Lord Brahma, the Brahma Samhita says that just as if there is a gemstone and the sun's rays fall on it, it sparkles, it shines. Similarly, the Brahma Samhita says, I won't quote the verse, the Brahma Samhita says that Lord, the Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu's grace shines upon Lord Brahma, and therefore he is so creative. Therefore he is able to achieve so much in service of Krishna. So he is a servant of Krishna under all circumstances. Yes, there are some instances in Srimad Bhagavatam where we read about he is getting deluded. But eventually we have to understand that Lord Brahma is a great, great personality. This is one. Then, what about Lord Shiva? So, when there is a need to establish the annihilation and when there is a need to annihilate this material world, that time comes. So the world also has to be annihilated by the will of the Lord. The Supreme Lord expands himself as Lord Shiva, who is the master of mode of ignorance. Now Shiva is not to be confused as a living entity. He is separate tattva, Shambhu tattva. And it is described, a very graphic example is given about Lord Shiva, is that we have milk, whose nutritive value we all know. That milk, when it comes in touch with little bit of acid or sour curds, it gets converted into dahi, gets converted into curds itself. Now, all of us know that constitutionally dahi also is milk fully. But dahi is not milk. So, what milk can do, dahi cannot do. Now, nor can you reverse dahi into milk. So this is a great lesson for us. So Shiva is a great, Shambhu Tattva is a great personality who is eventually the servant of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So he is Govinda assumes the form of Lord Shiva for the purpose of annihilating the universe. Now Vishnu incarnation is the master of Sattva Guna. I won't go into details. And he has no tinge of materialism in him. He is supremely pure, pavitra. And although Vishnu is equal to Krishna, he is not Krishna. So again, Brahma Samhita gives a very beautiful example. It gives the example of, he says that there is a candle which is burning very, very bright. The original candle which is burning brightly, and it is emitting light, shining very nicely. And there is yet another candle which you can light with the same candle. Now the other candle, second candle with which you have lit, that also throws off, you know, effulgence, that also throws off, you know, light. But that doesn't mean that the second candle is the same as the original one. So Sri Krishna is that original candle who illuminates everything. He is Sarva Karana Karanam, the source of everything that you can see in this world, in this universe. So when the influence of one candle is felt, we sometimes mistake. It says that all right, Vishnu is same as Krishna, Krishna is same as Vishnu. But Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, they have clarified again and again that Krishna, Vishnu, Lord Vishnu has very many qualities of Krishna, but he is not Krishna. So this we understand very nicely. And for this reason, it's not that we neglect or ignore Lord Brahma or ignore Lord Shiva. In fact, Lord Shiva is worshipable, and there are millions of people who worship Lord Shiva. So I myself at one time was a worshipper of Lord Shiva. So great adoration for this magnificent personality, that is Lord Shiva. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he used to worship Lord Shiva as a Parama Vaishnava. So there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, Nimagnanam yatha Ganga, Devanam Achyuto yatha, Vaishnavanam yatha Shambhu, Puranam idam yatha. It says, the Ganges is the greatest of all rivers, that's flowing. And Lord Achyuta, Lord Krishna, he is the supreme among all the gods. And Lord Shambhu is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. Vaishnavanam yatha Shambhu. And Srimad Bhagavatam, which we are trying to learn and study from, that is the greatest of all Puranas. So Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they are to be respected, they are to be adored. This is what we have to understand. And with this background about Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, we can now proceed to understand this verse. Now we read in the previous verse that Bhrigu Muni, now these sages just did not discuss it among themselves. They wanted to establish it once and for all. So they invite the great Bhrigu Muni. Question arises, why Bhrigu Muni? Srila Prabhupada in the Srimad Bhagavatam writes about Bhrigu Muni. He writes about Bhrigu Muni in that section of the Srimad Bhagavatam when Parikshit Maharaj is about to leave his body and Srimad Bhagavatam is being read or is being presented to him by none other than Srila Sukhdev Goswami. So Srila Sukhdev Goswami is narrating the Srimad Bhagavatam, and at that point in time, all the sages in the universe, they assemble there to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukhdev Goswami. Nobody was sent any SMS. All of them assembled there and they heard. So Srila Prabhupada describes the features of some of the sages who attended. One among them is Bhrigu Muni. What does Srila Prabhupada write about Bhrigu Muni? He says that the Bhrigu Muni is the son of Lord Brahma. He is the son of Lord Brahma and a great personality. When Brahmaji was performing a great sacrifice for the pleasure of Varuna, Bhrigu Muni arose from the sacrificial arena. He just arose from the sacrifice. So Bhrigu is Brahma's son and is a great sage. He could travel from one planet to another planet, following the footsteps of Narad Muni and Durvasa and others, who could go from one planet to other. So he is the right person chosen because he has to visit all these planets to decide who is the greatest. So he is the right person who has been chosen. And he is the author of Bhrigu Samhita. Bhrigu Samhita is regarded by astrologers, greatly regarded by astrologers as original one. Even to this day, there are people who read some of the extracts of Bhrigu Samhita and predict. So it's a great text. So Bhrigu is explained how air, fire, water and earth are generated from ether. So Bhrigu was also a great anthropologist, Srila Prabhupada writes, and the theory of evolution was long ago explained by him. But these are not my words, these are Prabhupada's words. And Bhrigu Muni was actually in attendance during the Bhagavat Saptaha of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. So a great personality. So when one has to decide something on a very momentous subject like this, you require an appropriate person for that. Now, for example, if there are even in the present day world, in the mundane world also, sometimes the Chief Justice of India is appointed to be a chairman of a committee to investigate some high profile crimes, high profile politicians when they are involved in some scams. Chief Justice of he has many better things to do, but then he's invited to head the commission and he spends his valuable time. So similarly, again, we find that this is all perverted reflection of what is happening in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the sages choose the best among the sages. They choose Bhrigu Muni to investigate this subject matter. And here we follow thousands of years later in a perverted way, we appoint so many commissions, so many committees, which achieve virtually nothing. But Bhrigu achieves everything at the very first go. So let us just briefly discuss. It may have been discussed earlier by others because I have not heard all the classes. So what is the transcendental uniqueness of Bhrigu Muni's approach to solve this problem? Let us discuss this briefly. Now, first of all, Bhrigu Muni did not refuse the assignment. He could have easily got out of it saying, please, excuse me, Brahma is my father after all, and Lord Shiva is my elder brother. No, please, don't inflict this punishment of inquiry about these two people. No, Bhrigu Muni readily accepts this assignment. Why? Because he is also concerned about deciding this subject matter as to who is the greatest among the Trinity, so that people in general benefit from this inquiry. So Bhrigu Muni immediately accepts that. So he accepts this as seva. Sometimes very many difficult assignments may come our way and we may take it up as per instructions of the spiritual master or some senior Vaishnavas, and we cannot refuse it on personal grounds. So Bhrigu Muni was beyond all this. He wanted to render that service and he accepted the seva. And what yardstick did he use? Now, whenever some examinations are held, I'm now coming to my own field, even whether it is IIT entrance or any entrance, one common paper is set and students are evaluated. Who is the best among them? So the parameters are common. But here it is something unique. Bhrigu Muni uses different parameters for evaluating Lord Brahma and for evaluating Lord Shiva. How? He evaluates Lord Brahma on the platform of the mind, on the mental platform he evaluates him. He evaluates Lord Shiva by words. And I don't want to talk about the next episode because... So, he used different yardsticks to evaluate and they were foolproof yardsticks. So what is the standard that was set? What are the goal of the test which Bhrigu Muni had, or for that matter the subject, what the sages had? It was simply to find out who among the three deities possess the quality of goodness in full measure. Purna Sattva. Who among the three possesses that? And this is what to be decided. Now, all of us living entities, we are all Daivyesha, Gunamayi, Mamamaya, Duratya. All of us, are made up of three modes of material nature. Nobody can claim that he is entirely in Sattva Guna all the time, nor can anyone claim that he is entirely in the mode of Rajas. All Gunas, we are all composite mixture of all these three Gunas. I remember once hearing His Holiness Radhana Swami speak in a lecture that he was talking about the beautiful sunset. Sunsets and sunrise are two beautiful phenomena in this material world which each of us can experience. You go to near the sea face or anywhere, Juhu or some such place, and you observe the sun setting.
such a beautiful sight which really, you know, inspires you. So when you see that, the same scene inspires three people, one in the mode of sattva, one in the mode of rajas, and one in the mode of tama, differently. The scene is the same. So what happens? One, when the sun is setting, one who is in the mode of sattva guna, he starts admiring the beauty of the sunset. He starts admiring the Supreme Lord Krishna who has created the sun. So he is in that consciousness. What about Rajoguna? He starts looking at his watch. My, it's evening. I have got to attend a meeting somewhere. So he is in that consciousness. He wants to run from there. And what about Tamoguni? He says, oh, this is the time for me to go to the bar and have my usual, you know, customary drink. So everything remaining the same. But modes are playing their active part. So this is what we have to understand, appreciate. So they are trying to find out who amongst the three deities is in the consciousness of goodness or in the sattva guna. So I also come, a thought comes to my mind, you know, I was a student of science. So in science, you know, we have, Prabhuji may be knowing, in science we have this concept of what is known as flash point. Many people may be knowing this flash point. What is flash point? There is flash point, there is fire point. What is flash point? Flash point is that temperature at which a particular liquid, you know, spontaneously catches fire, immediately ignites. So similarly we find that in our life, day-to-day life, we come across many people, different types of people, and they are all, you know, influenced by different modes at different times of the day. In the morning time, you may be influenced by somewhat influenced by mode of sattva, but they are influenced in different way. So as soon as you see a person who do not like, whatever activity he does, we become, you know, furious with that person. We become angry with that person. In Marathi, there is a saying, "Talapayachi aag mastakala jate." So, you know, that we become angry. The slightest reason, very trivial reason, and we become angry at that particular person. So the flash point, you know, is very low. Certain people have flash point very low. They can get irritated and excited or nothing. Just as it happens in the railway trains, you know. Two people fight over little bit of, you know, 12 inch by 12 inch space for sitting, and they fight. There are people who get down from the train and continue their fight thereafter. Very trivial reason. So they are in a mode of, you know, tama and mode of, you know, raja. And they are, at the slightest pretext, they want to pick up a quarrel and fight with each other. So this is influence of different gunas. So this is a flash point. There is also a concept of, again, this is in, I'll explain it. It's in the area of photochemistry, where we say there is an excited state, you know, excited state. And there is a ground state. So an excited state can come to ground state. How? In photochemistry, it is by phenomenon of emitting some radiation. So it emits radiation and then comes to ground state. It can also come to ground state in other ways, by colliding with other molecules, other atoms. It can come to ground state. But no, it emits radiation. Similarly, those who are always perpetually in excited state, they immediately, you know, become excited and they come out, they emit radiation. Which radiation? They come out, emit radiation in the form of, you know, words, in the form of physical assault and so many ways. And then they come back to ground state. If you simply analyze, you know, how or why it has happened, just with a cool mind, you understand that it was just the mode. You are in that mode, and you know, at that point in time, you react very, very violently and create a lot of disaster around you. Now, most politicians utilize this also. There are certain situations, I'm not generalizing, there are some situations, there are certain places which are, you know, prone for immediate, you know, riots. They go there and make a speech by which the people, you know, just flare up. They just need that spark to ignite. just to ignite. Just as I saw a video recently wherein two people are riding a bike and one person, you know, is riding, he's wearing a helmet, they go to a petrol pump and the person behind, you know, he is, you know, talking on the cell phone, and just as he's talking on the cell phone, there is a spark and the scooter catches fire, the petrol pump is about to be burnt. So just a little spark. So depending upon how we have developed our consciousness in life, how we have prepared ourselves to meet different situations, we can be easily excited into doing wrong things. So this is what we learn. The Bhagavad Gita is all about telling us, you know, how to rise above the modes of nature, isn't it? That is what the advice Lord Krishna gives to Arjuna. Nistraigunya bhava Arjuna. So you should transcend that to be able to be sober and to be able to appreciate Krishna consciousness. So this is how this happens. So here we find that Bhrigumani goes to Brahma and plays a surprise visit. He doesn't announce that he's coming. He goes there, and what does he do? This must have been discussed earlier, but I'll just repeat it. So he just goes there and stands before his father, Lord Brahma, and his body language suggests that he's absolutely indifferent towards Brahma. Now, ordinarily, Bhrigumuni should have offered his obeisances to his father, some prayers to his father, but no, he stands there arrogantly, stiffly, and Lord Brahma notices it, and he flares up. His flashpoint is reached immediately. He flares up, and then, not that Bhrigu has done anything, he's just standing there, and you know, his body language suggests that he's not going to be respectful, not offering any respect, and there you are, completely. So Brahma becomes very, very angry, and he wants to, you know, actually chastise his son. But because he is the original, you know, living entity, original Adi Kavi, and because he is endowed with intelligence, he somehow, you know, comes down to ground state. He becomes normal. And after all, Bhrigu is my son, let me forgive him. So he forgives him, he goes away. And Bhrigu doesn't stay there, he has done his job. He has evaluated Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is not in the mode of goodness in full. That is his conclusion. He writes, just as in a journal we write observation in the end, you know, we write a conclusion. So he writes, Lord Brahma, great personality, but no, not fully in mode of goodness. Then what does he do? We come to the present verse which we are reading. Lord comes to Lord Shiva. And what does he do after coming to Lord Shiva? He uses his power of speech. Earlier he has worked on the mind of Lord Brahma. Now he uses his words. And what kind of words does he use? The Srimad Bhagavatam is very clear on that. It says that you are a deviant heretic. He is addressing his elder brother. So Lord Shiva, when he says Brahma, he actually comes down from his asana and he wants to embrace Bhrigu in great love. But what is Bhrigu's reaction? He pushes him away and brazenly pushes him away and then uses his barrage of words, razor sharp words, which hurt Lord Shiva tremendously. So he uses all kinds of words. He says that, you know, you are a heretic, you are this, you are that, and what kind of dress do you wear? You have snakes around you, you know, all kinds of dress, you have this mashan, you know, what you call bhasma on your body. What kind of a person are you, Lord Shiva? So he almost indicates to me, I am ashamed to be your brother. And Lord Shiva just can't take it. The one reason why Lord Shiva can't take it is because at that, when this is taking place, this particular episode is taking place, Mother Parvati is also there. Now, normally we can't take insults. When we are insulted, we flare up. But if your wife is there, you know, you're altering, you know, then that ego, you know, principle becomes magnified billionfold. So Lord Shiva becomes very, very angry. So what does he do? It says, describes here graphically. Shulam Uddham. He immediately, you know, catches hold of his trident and he's about to kill Bhrigu. Then what happens? What happens is that mother Parvati, Parvati Devi, she santvaya masa, she comes to Lord Shiva and with very very sweet words she pacifies Lord Shiva. She actually makes him conscious that Bhrigu is your dear son, huh? Or dear brother. Don't be so rough with him, don't be rough with him. So she actually invokes, as Srila Prabhupada writes here in his beautiful purport, he writes that her personality is a mixture of three qualities and therefore she is called Trigunamayi. In this case, she saved the situation by evoking Lord Shiva's quality of goodness. So she succeeds. So from this we can understand that every person who is married has to understand that a wife can be a sobering influence on us when we go astray or when we go off the tangent, when we are disturbed. If we have a sahadharmacharini, a wife, she can influence us in a positive way and that way eliminate our getting into trouble, getting excited, getting violent. She can save us. So never ever, ignore, I'm not addressing the brahmacharis, I'm talking to grihasthas. So never ever ignore the advice which a wife gives, just on the ground that she's, a lady. Don't ever ignore it, accept it, because some sense can prevail at times, because in our anger, in the mood of, ignorance or passion, we are likely to enter into all kinds of wrong activities. So you require sobering influence. In fact, each one of us, wife or no one, each one of us, when we are under the influence of rajas and tamas, we need a sobering influence. And that sobering influence is extremely important for us in our lives. So that sobering influence we are fortunate to have by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON movement is a sobering influence on a humanity which is floundering, which is going all on the wrong track. So it's a sobering influence. Srila Prabhupada encourages everyone to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this way, we require this kind of a personality in our life. We require a personality like a spiritual master who tells us which path to take in life. We could just go wrong. We could just be confused. We could just be confused. But a spiritual master, by his sobering, influence, he can tell us, look son, you are going on the wrong track. This is the road, back to Godhead. So take this road, take this path. So this is what we learn from this lesson. It's not that always Parvati Devi was, takes things in this particular way. We have another incident and I'll conclude with that in Srimad Bhagavatam. We have a story of Chitraketu Maharaj. Now Chitraketu Maharaj was a great devotee of the Supreme Lord, originally very worldly minded but influenced by the rishis like Narada Muni and Parvati. So he's a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. So and he was an empowered personality. So it so happened that one day, he was traveling in his airplane. He was driving it himself, self-piloted plane. He was driving it and he comes to, I don't remember all the details, but he comes to the Sumeru mountain and he's at the Sumeru mountain and there Lord Shiva, he has Mother Parvati on his lap and he is instructing a number of, charanas and sages. He is giving instruction on brahmacharya. He has Mother Parvati on his lap and Chitraketu sees it from his airplane, and when he sees this, he bursts out, he laughs. Now, when you laugh at such an incident, obviously, it's an insult. So what happens? Mother Parvati doesn't like Chitraketu's, outburst of laugh. So what does she do? she curses him. This is in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So she curses Chitraketu. Chitraketu, she calls him actually. She curses him. She says that you have become very, very proud. So therefore, she calls him a son. She says, son, you enter into a Nimna Yoni, you know, you be born as an Asura. And what happens? What is the reaction of Chitraketu Maharaj? He is a pure devotee of the Lord. So he comes down from his airplane. He doesn't do, this laughing is not intentional, not with an intent, you know, of humiliating Lord Shiva. It is just that he is tremendously amused that he is talking about this subject matter in presence of all these exalted sages, and he has Mother Parvati on the lap. He is just bewildered and amused, and he laughs. So when Lord Shiva, Chitraketu is cursed by Mother Parvati, at that time, how does Lord Shiva react? So Mother Parvati now is, her flashpoint was reached very fast. Earlier, you know, she was the one who actually, you know, she was the one actually who brought the person back to track, Shiva on back to track. But here, she is angry and Lord Shiva is benign. Lord Shiva is very benign. So how does Chitraketu react? He says, Pratigrinnamite shapam atmano anjalinambike devaihi martyaya yat proktam purvadishtam hitasya tat. Chitraketu says that, O Mother Parvati, with my open palms, with my folded, you know, palms, no, accept this curse as your blessing. So this is pure devotee of the Lord. Accept the curse as your blessing. Which shows that he never had an intention, you know, of, you know, hurting anybody's sentiment. But it happened inadvertently. Many, many times we hurt people inadvertently. So he hurt. So he holds his hands and says that, Mother, I accept the curse upon me. I do not mind the curse, for happiness and distress are given by the demigods as a result of one's past deeds. So, if I have to become a demon, I'll become a demon. So, this is how Chitraketu becomes devotee demon Vrutrasura. A beautiful episode in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Wonderful personality, Vrutrasura. He is in a demon's body, but a devotee of the Lord. So, this is beautiful. At that time, what does Lord Shiva say? He says many things, but he says one particular verse which I will read. Narayana para sarve nakutaschana bibhyati svargapavarga narakeshu apitulyartha darshanaha. So he says that, Lord Shiva says, see, look at the devotees of Lord Narayan. He tells Mother Parvati, he says, look at these devotees. They are willing to go even to hell. They are willing to go anywhere, just anywhere, provided they get service of the Supreme Lord. So this is the principle that comes out very strong in Lord Shiva's this particular verse. So that devotees just don't care in what situation Krishna has put them. Sometimes, you know, in good situations, sometimes in bad situations. But in both situations, they want to serve Krishna. They want to serve the spiritual master. So this is their, you know, mentality. This is their consciousness. So here, Parvati Devi has inadvertently given us a very beautiful principle, and they actually glorified, you know, devotees who are sometimes faced with very, very difficult or awkward situations. So many things to learn from Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is a treasure that has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada. And every time we read Srimad Bhagavatam, our hand should be folded in prayer to Srila Prabhupada, because of whom, you know, we exist in this particular Krishna consciousness. But for him, we would not be here at all. I would not be sitting here and, you know, trying to or endeavoring, you know, to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Thank you. If anybody has any comments or questions, please feel free. Shri Bhagavat Puranam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.